This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us on this beautiful Tuesday in September. That, of course, means we will have Toby Leary on in the 2 o'clock hour. We also have a lot of great stories to get to you, and we want to hear from you as well. If you want to call in, it's 844-500-4242. Plenty to talk about. But first, before we get into any of this sound, Hurricane Ian hit Cuba early today. The projected path is saying that it will near Tampa Bay, Florida by late tomorrow or early Thursday. That's pretty much the coverage you're going to see on any of the news channels. I'm looking at Channel 7 right now. They're talking about it. I know it's been on Fox all day long. It is a Category 3 hurricane. It could possibly become a Category 4 major hurricane. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is urging people along the Gulf to listen to the local officials and evacuate if that is the orders that they're getting. That's always what happens when you have these natural disasters, is there's some people who are stubborn or they decide that they're going to ride it out. And so when you're someone like Ron DeSantis, you're trying to avoid any sort of casualties. So you're just urging people to follow the instructions. We will keep you posted on this. Like I said, it's going to be all over your TV news today. So I'm sure you'll be getting plenty of coverage. But the absolute clear winner when it comes to politicizing this very serious situation in record time, without a doubt, bring out the trophy. It goes to Senator Amy Klobuchar. If you're not familiar with Senator Amy Klobuchar's work, let me fill you in. She's the senator who is roundly viewed as the worst person to work with in D.C. She gets very, and you can fact check me on this, she does not have great Yelp reviews as
honestly,
far as
she is the worst. She is.
And what's really crazy about Amy Klobuchar is compared to the other Democrats, to me, she seems the most likable. And I know her ex-employees would disagree, but she seems the most relatable, the most likable. And it's not saying much. It's really, I'm damning with very faint praise. But you have to hear what she said about this upcoming hurricane in Florida. So she's on MSNBC with the crew at Morning Joe, and she lays this whopper on us. I've got to play this right off the bat here. This is Cut 18, Amy Klobuchar.
We just did something about climate change for the first time in decades. That's why we've got to win this as that hurricane bears down on Florida. We got to win in the midterms. We understand that.
You know, I've heard a lot of threats lately. You know, yesterday we played somebody on MSNBC, a professor at, I think, American University.
Miami, University of Miami.
Saying that if minorities don't vote in this election, they might never get the chance to vote again. And of course, you're thinking, well, are you telling them a specific group that they should vote for? Is there a political party you have in mind, or just voting in general? Because I do think that the underlying message there is you have to vote for Democrats or else. Now we're getting you have to vote for Democrats or else you might get hurricanes your way if we do not have enough funding for climate change. To think that we could have had Amy as our president and we missed the opportunity. Shame on us. Shame on us.
Amy giving away the weather machine secrets.
Really? I guess there's always 2024. I'm not ruling her out for that. You know, move over, Michael Avenatti. I mean, that could be a ticket right there. Amy Klobuchar, Michael Avenatti. Can you say a winning team? And I'm sure within a few hours, I bet Gavin Newsom saw that cut and was like, damn it. She beat me to it. And the man putting in his hair gel that puts it in every morning and combs it back, he's like, I told you to hurry up, Jeeves. I'm trying to get out there. Now, Amy beat me to it. She already blamed the hurricane on Republicans, on global warming. And now I'm a step behind. But I have no doubt that Newsom will come out with something really good. He'll be putting up billboards in red states soon about how Florida and Ron DeSantis caused the hurricane and how people should consider moving to California. Sure, they have crime, high taxes, open air drug markets, but it's way better than red states. Way better than red states. At least they're not trying to give parents rights in what their kids learn at school. Okay, you have to weigh the pros and cons. And as all of this is going on, a big conversation that's happening in regards to 2022 is how the crime issue is playing out. Now, I think that for the most part, Republicans haven't been really hammering on this enough, but they're, over the last few days, they have been ramping it up a bit. You saw Kevin McCarthy. He was giving a speech about the commitment to America. That was a big part of it, was crime. And it makes sense why, because you can't go a few hours without seeing just a horrific headline about what's happening in these blue cities. And I got to read you this latest. A homeless man, I'm reading from the New York Post, who was captured on surveillance footage beating a woman inside a Queens subway station last week, was arrested as a teen decades ago for killing his own grandmother. The suspect, 41-year-old Waheed Foster, has a lengthy criminal history, including a bust for beating his grandmother to death in 1995 when he was just 14. The elderly victim, Ariel Masha, had 20 broken ribs, a stab wound in the leg, and a punctured liver. The brutal attack was sparked by a fight about money. He was later convicted in her death, but it's unclear how long he served. The attack happened on September 20th, just after 5 a.m., as the 33-year-old victim tried to exit the northbound A train and stop without engaging with the man. Well, and this is just one crime that you'll read about today. There'll be several more. And the left is, in the meantime, trying to convince us that it's not their fault, you know, that they can't be tied to this. That's the new trend I keep seeing, Jared, is that the GOP is trying to tie Democrats to this. You know, we're trying so hard to make the leap to link these two things together. Democrats have control of the Senate.
Nobody
and the House.
Makes me bleed my own blood.
This is all happening for the most part in blue cities. How could we ever make the jump? How can we link these two?
Oof, more QAnon stuff from the Republicans.
Yeah, it's a reach, as they say. It is a huge reach to try to pin this on Democrats. And by the way, this whole crime issue, all I keep thinking every time I see a story, and they're horrific, every time I see one, though, I think, it's nothing that a few more billion dollars in solar panels and windmills can't fix. Can we all just get back to focusing on what matters? Instead of, anytime you see a headline about crime, and I have one in mind specifically, because Peter Ducey was mentioning it to Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, and the way he was mentioning it, and the way she was so defensive and couldn't answer the question, which is, you know, par for the course at the White House press briefings, but it made me think, wow, did the New York Times write a piece that really hits hard at Democrats for their handling of crime? Fact check, false. The piece...
It's an infamous fake.
...is actually very, very, not flattering towards Democrats, but it's trying its best to spin for Democrats. And here's the headline. GOP redoubles efforts to tie Democrats to high crime rates. It's going to be a tough one, like I said. Tying Democrats to something is the new pouncing, weaponizing, seizing, hammering, salivating, jumping. Am I forgetting any? Milking.
Hammering.
I think I said hammering. But you know what? We'll roll the tape. But that's what they're trying to do. And here are just some highlights. And I'm skipping around, so you could say, Grace, you're taking it out of context. And I would say, yeah, maybe you're right. Okay? Well, we'll give you that one. But I'm not going to read to you the long piece about how the GOP is redoubling the efforts to tie Democrats to high crime. I do want to throw out a couple of sentences that popped out at me.
And they're not going to let me read it all.
The strategy seeks to capitalize on some voters' fears about safety. Now, again, am I trying to argue that that's not what Republicans are doing? No. That, of course, that's what you do before a midterm. You capitalize on the problems that the other side is not only not handling, but I'll do you one better, is causing. Their insane policies are wreaking this havoc on our country. And what are Republicans supposed to do? They're supposed to sit there and go, oh, well, yeah, I know you're concerned about crime, but we're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about things nobody cares about. Like, so is this whole article supposed to be Republicans are doing what they're supposed to do before the midterms to win? How dare they?
Maliciously doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, some of the advertising contains thinly disguised appeals to racist fears, like grainy footage of Black Lives Matter protesters that sharply contrast with Republicans' efforts at the beginning of Mr. Trump's term to highlight the party's work on criminal justice overhauls, sentencing reductions, and the pardoning of some petty crimes. Now,
racism, racism.
I have a few problems with that. I think looping in prison reform, which Trump and Jared Kushner did work a lot on, looping that in with protesters, and that in itself is not how I would describe what happened in these Black Lives Matter protests, with people who were destroying property and trying to say that one, well, if you support one, you can't support the other. Like, they're mutually exclusive. Well, Trump backed prison reform. So he shouldn't have a problem with the riots that led to buildings being burned down. Oh, is that what I have to be on board with to support prison reform? Got it. Okay, this is such a nuanced issue, clearly. And the full picture on crime rates is nuanced. That's my new word of the day, by the way. I'm going to be using that a lot. And it goes on to cite just a few statistics that might not look good for Democrats, but for the most part, it's Republicans' fault for focusing on this. For drawing the attention to this, for being such nasty people. And when asked about this, Karine Jean-Pierre, she was specifically asked about Jen Psaki's comments, because Jen Psaki, her predecessor, is now doing a lot of media hits. She has her own show, I think, on MSNBC. Hopefully it's doing better than Chris Wallace's latest show on CNN. We'll get to that a little bit later. She pointed out that Dems have a vulnerability on crime, and KJP didn't answer the question, but she accused Peter Ducey of mischaracterizing her comments. I mean, it's just, can anyone talk about what's actually happening? Or are we just, everyone is just spinning constantly trying to avoid this. And I want to talk about this because I've been seeing a lot more headlines over the past few weeks about how Democrats are trying to avoid this issue in the midterms. I don't think it's going to work. I want to talk about the polling like we did yesterday. But beyond that, today, we have a lot of really, I shouldn't say funny, but light news stories. I've got a gender reveal gone wrong. I know, Jared, that will shock you. Because usually gender reveals are just A-plus stuff. They usually go off without a hitch. I also have a little bit of sound that I missed yesterday of Joe Biden with Elton John and just a ton of great stuff. An Alec Baldwin update, but consider the source because I'm not his biggest fan. All of
this whole thing was staged.
All of this and so much more. Plus Chris Wallace's latest show. The ratings are out and I don't think he's going to be happy about it. All of this today on the Grace Curley Show. But in the meantime, get on the lines. We're going to take calls for this whole hour. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday. Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Let's go right to the callers today. We're discussing everything from the Democrats' crime problem to Elton John at the White House, to Chris Wallace's dismal CNN ratings. I just actually took a closer look at these numbers, and Wow. I am actually blown away by how bad his show did. And we'll get to all of it right after we take your calls. Adam, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. So a couple things. One, you know, it seems like Europe's going to the right with the new prime minister in Italy and also the new prime minister in London. But I want to talk about climate change. I think climate change is just the biggest scam ever perpetrated on the American public because you can't prove it. Al Gore did this in 2006, and by his estimation, we should be underwater by now. It just doesn't happen. But they keep perpetrating this lie on everybody, thinking we're going to be terrible, terrible, terrible things going to happen. Obama buys a $17 million mansion right next to the water, and it's just BS, and it's just absolutely destroying this country. We need to get back to reality and start doing things in a correct way and start holding people accountable for what's going on. They just let it go. But Grace, thank you for the opportunity to voice my opinion. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Adam. And you're right about Europe going more towards the right, or as it's being called now, the far right. Howie had a good point yesterday that you don't really hear whenever you're talking about the left. I don't hear about the far left as much as I hear about the far right. But it was funny. There was a cut today of her former political rival who is on, I think, CNN saying that, yeah, you know, I'm not friends with her. We've been rivals our whole career. But these accusations that she's going to turn Italy fascist are ridiculous. And we'll have that sound in a little bit. That was my bad, Jared. I forgot to send it to you. As far as the global warming goes, this is not just such a scam as far as, and I'm not saying global warming doesn't exist. Don't misinterpret what I'm trying to say. I recycle, I do all that good stuff. But it's the idea that the same people who cannot fix a pothole, Joe Biden cannot do one appearance without three major gaffes, without almost starting World War III. And we're supposed to believe that if we give these people $369 billion, that they're going to fix our problems. And not just our problems, fix the world's problems, despite the fact that not a lot of other countries in the world want to partake. Unless they think that if they partake, they're going to get a break on, you know, paying their dues, then they're all for it. But as far as people who have to actually take a pay cut for partaking in all this green energy, China, they want nothing to do with it. They're sitting there going, you guys have this. You do it so much better than we do. We're happy to make you the solar panels. We're happy to get rich off of all this green stuff. But we are not going to handicap our own economy over it.
Blah, 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 blah.
And you know what the really wild part is, which we can get into in the next segment, is that in the eyes of a lot of these far left, oh yeah, I'm going to call them far left Democrats or socialists, in their eyes, like Bernie Sanders, the only problem with all of these plans that are costing you all of your tax money, the only problem with it, it's not going far enough. We're not doing enough. $369 billion, yeah, it might be the largest, most sweeping climate bill in history, but why stop there?
Blah, 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 blah.
That's my favorite part about the climate activists is their permanent malcontents. They don't even take an hour to toast their accomplishments before they start saying, we need more, we need more. We'll be right back with more of your calls, 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
We just did something about climate change for the first time in decades. That's why we've got to win this as that hurricane bears down on Florida. We got to win in the midterms. We understand that.
Never let a hurricane go to waste.
I want to start calling her Hurricane Klobuchar.
It's, and I'm confused. So the money, by that kind of crazy logic, am I supposed to believe, and I'm just trying to understand. That's all I try to do.
That's
for 3 hours.
Number one.
I just try to understand. Are we not going to have any more hurricanes after this? What? Because the $369 billion, last time I checked, they got it. It's happening. You know, Joe Manchin signed on. He thinks that he's going to be able to bring some of this back to the people of West Virginia. He shook hands with Chuck Schumer. It's all good to go. There's no issue. So am I being told that in the future hurricanes will be a thing of the past?
I was under the, I would say, sincere belief from Nancy Pelosi that the planet had been saved. So I don't know what Amy Klobuchar is talking about. I'm sorry, what Hurricane Klobuchar is talking about here.
She did use the past tense, Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. That was a big mistake because you haven't let her forget it.
I have not. I mean, that's impressive. Not that I haven't let her forget it. I keep celebrating it. That's an accomplishment.
And you know, our last caller, Adam, and if you want to call in, it's 844-500-4242. Adam's always a good caller. He brought up global warming and how every year we're told a different time and, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And, you know, the world's going to end by 2042. No, we have 7 years. No, we have 10 years. We just added 1 year, but then we had to subtract 1 year because, you know, Jared left a recycled can on the floor. There's all sorts of fuzzy math going on here. And we do need to get on the same page when it comes to the book of when the world is going to end. I would all like to be on the same page about that. But what's interesting is it does seem to me, out of all the years that we're told to look out for, Jared, and maybe I'm focusing on the wrong thing, but one year that continues to pop up over and over and over again is 2030. That seems to be a magic number. And here's the headline from the Daily Mail. Inside Biden's plan to reduce obesity and eliminate hunger by 2030. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing, sir? Is eliminating hunger something that you find funny? Why are you laughing at that?
You're right. He's done such a bang-up job eliminating cancer. I should give him the benefit.
Can we get a check-in on the eliminating cancer thing? Because that was one of his...
And it's like, let me crunch the numbers. No, there's still cancer.
To quote Michael Scott, I've made a lot of empty promises in my life, but that was by far the most generous. That really does sum up Joe Biden. He has made so many empty promises, and some of them are a lot more generous than others. But 2030 seems to be this year inside Biden's plan to reduce obesity and eliminate hunger by 2030. So you're really going at it from both angles. You're going to eliminate hunger, reduce obesity, and by 2030. A lot's happening in 2030, if we even make it to 2030. Now, I brought this to Howie's attention, and he said, well, I think the world is ending by 2030 anyway, so technically he will be able to accomplish all of those things. And that's an airtight argument. I cannot find a way around that one. But 2030 is a big year. And as we talk about these years to come, you know, and Democrats like to throw out numbers. By 2052, footprints will be eliminated and everything will run on pure unicorn farts. All of this stuff. I just want to give you a little bit of a flashback to a long, long time ago when Gavin Newsom was younger, still hair gelled at the time. But can we take a trip down memory lane, please?
I thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
The year was 2008, and Gavin Newsom was standing in front of a television screen and telling us that he was going to end something else. Like Joe Biden, he wanted to eliminate a problem, and he had a deadline in mind. That's how you know someone is bound to be president, is they have deadlines, and they know how to meet them, Jared. You can't just throw out numbers willy-nilly. You got to be able to meet the deadline to be a good boss.
Play 8-5. 2-3 out of 5.
So this flashback from 2008 shows that Gavin Newsom had a plan. He was a man with a plan. Take a listen to Cut 19.
We believe fundamentally that food solves hunger, that shelters solve sleep, and that housing solves homelessness. And if we're going to solve the problem of those that are out on the streets that we define as homeless, we better solve the housing problem if we're going to have an impact. And that's why we established this framework, what we call a 10-year plan to end chronic homelessness in San Francisco.
Now, that was 2008. So is it fair?
Mission accomplished.
Am I okay to say grading here? it's not in the A's and B's. It's heading more towards the C's, D's, and F's as far as his performance. 2008, he vowed to end homelessness in San Francisco in 10 years. So I just Googled, you know, San Francisco homelessness just to check in on how things are going. Because he's had more than enough time. We gave him more than 10 years. Here are some headlines. Daily Mail. Shocking new images reveal the extent of homelessness in San Francisco. The New York Post. Viral video shows homeless fighting in squalid conditions on San Francisco street. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. San Francisco is magnificent and its people are furious. Fox News. San Francisco businesses threaten tax strike if homeless people are not removed. Like Jared said, mission accomplished. Excellent job by Gavin Newsom. But they don't, the thing about the liberals, and you have to almost appreciate it, is that they don't care. You know, they know at this point that there's tape or video. I'm sorry, I'm aging myself. They have video that you can look back on and say, well, you said this, and it turns out that you were wrong. That doesn't bother them. You know, they're past that. And in a sense, we need to get past it too. Because they really have kind of a Teflon attitude towards their own words and their own promises and their own failures. And another great example of this is what's happening right now. You look at Karine Jean-Pierre. Okay, she's in the press briefing and she's in the White House and she's doing these press briefings and she's asked about things and she just lies. She just lies and she does not care. Now, a really good example is Peter Ducey, the one horse pony soldier, not to be confused with Bill Malugin. Okay, Peter Ducey's bad, but he's not that bad. He was never an Abercrombie and Fitch.
The maliciously handsome Bill Malugin.
Yeah, that's what I call a bridge too far. All right, I can support reporters doing their jobs, but when you are good looking and you have the audacity to report on what's actually happening at the southern border, but you don't do anything to get yourself on a private plane to land in Martha's Vineyard and cover that humanitarian crisis, guess what? Zero credibility in my book. So Peter Ducey is talking to Karine Jean-Pierre, and listen to this. This is Cut 13.
Jen Psaki says the crime is a huge vulnerability for Democrats. Why would she say that?
So, you know, again, I can't do electoral politics from here, as you know. But I don't agree with your characterization of what she actually said.
All right, so let's play the tape. Let's see what she actually said. This is Cut 14.
They also know that crime is a huge vulnerability for Democrats. I would say one of the biggest vulnerabilities.
Was she taken out of context? Because according to Jen Psaki, Karine Jean-Pierre's predecessor, context matters, Jared. I don't know if you've forgotten that, but context matters. And of course, Jen Psaki is telling the truth. Even a broken clock, you know the rest. But what's interesting is that crime is a major vulnerability for Democrats. And David Marcus actually has a piece on this in the New York Post about how progressives only care about crime after they're robbed or about to lose an election. And we're seeing this, and when he just lists out all of the things that have happened, and we've talked about a lot of these on the show, but it's pretty jarring to see it all in one column. He talks about in L.A., mayoral hopeful Representative Karen Bass, and how her home was broken into. She was robbed. Two guns that she had there for her safety were stolen. And she said, I did feel safe until my safety was shattered. I guess it's good she finally noticed. That's what David Marcus writes. And then meanwhile, this was a story that got a lot of play at the time, but two progressive lawmakers were both carjacked within just a couple of hours of each other. And people in all of these cities are getting fed up because these same Democrats who now are trying to back away from it and say, oh, we believe in safety. We want to fight crime. A lot of these Democrats were big supporters of defunding the police. And the old expression that everybody knows is a Republican is a Democrat who's been mugged. And at this point, with the level of crime that's going on, being mugged is one of the least scary parts of what we're actually seeing. I mean, people are being held at gunpoint in their homes. People are being followed from stores back to their houses. It's really, people are being pushed into the subways. It's really frightening. And the Democrats who are waking up to this, like, make no mistake, they haven't changed their ideology. They're just changing it because they're afraid of losing in the upcoming elections. It's like when Spanberger was on the call with all of those squad members and she said, you have to stop saying defund the police. We're all going to lose if you keep saying that. In a sense, I almost have more respect for an AOC than I do for a Democrat who's now just changing their tune. Because at least AOC buys her own BS. You know, she wants to defund the police so that she can take off those invisible handcuffs. And she's not going to change it based off a crime statistic. You know, she's not going to change it based off people in her district begging her to do something about the crime. That's not going to change her ideology. You must have to respect that a little bit. 844-500-4242. Now, what the polls are suggesting is that Democrats are about to make this big comeback and Republicans should be very nervous. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I saw an interesting piece about Nate Silver. When it's Nate Silver, you should be skeptical anyway, because he's been wrong a lot. But he gave Democrats a 70-in-100 chance to hold the Senate in his recent and widely reported forecast. But what this says in the Washington Examiner is how if you look back, polling that is 2 months before Election Day has been wrong way more than it's been right. And it gives a ton of examples, not just 2016. It gives like specific races. And it gives races like Joni Ernst in Iowa and how this polling is so skewed 2 months before. And I agree with the point that Howie made yesterday on his show and that a lot of people have been making, which is we've gone from, you know, the hidden vote or the silent majority to the submerged vote. Like people are, why would you ever want to come out now and say, oh yeah, I'm voting for a Republican. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm a MAGA Republican. Why? So you can have the FBI at your door? So you can be dragged out of a school board meeting?
So some guy can try to run you down with his car?
So a guy can run you down with his car, so you can be kicked off social media, so you can be vilified by your neighbors, so you can lose your job? Like, why would anyone want to do that? It just doesn't make any sense. 844-500-4242. A lot more to get to when we come back. We'll take your calls, and we're going to do the poll question. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. You probably recognize her from the thing.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah. There's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the, who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Governor Ron DeSantis is bracing the people of Florida for Hurricane Ian. I believe it's still at a Category 3, but it could become a Category 4. Brian, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, Grace. I'm just, you know, wondering, when we go totally, you know, electric and we have no fossil fuels anymore, and this hurricane like this devastates Florida all the way up the East Coast, rips out power lines, puts the power grid down for any significant time, then what? How do the electric trucks get there? How does people get around in their cars and whatnot? This is the perfect time for somebody to, you know, be in a press conference with somebody from the White House and put it on them. They want to use a good hurricane in their favor. We need to use a good one in our favor.
Yeah. You know what, Brian? It's a really good question. These power grids have never failed us before. So I don't know why. No, I'm kidding. Of course they have. But it's, you're right. And I think the issue with it is that Republicans don't tend to use these things. And of course some do. But in general, especially when you have all these people who are seriously in a vulnerable situation and you want them to be safe and you want them to follow the orders, I think Republicans are just trying their best to help people get out of harm's way before trying to put a political spin on it. But it is a very valid question. And I'm sure if we're spending $369 billion on the Inflation Reduction Act, the Climate Change Reduction Act. I'm sure that that question was brought up in all of these Socratic back and forths between lawmakers. Right, Jared?
Yeah, Brian's just being a worrywart here. Didn't he hear Amy Klobuchar? All you have to do is vote Democrat in 2022. There will be no more hurricanes. So we won't have to worry about it.
It will fix all of your problems. And like I said, we heard yesterday from a contributor who is saying if minorities don't vote for Democrat, it might be the last time they can vote at all. And now people are being told, if you don't vote Democrat, there might be hurricanes in the future, but we could stop it. It's like, okay, what about a water slide? Are you going to put a water slide in my house, free pizza every day? It's just getting more and more absurd.
I would vote Democrat for free pizza every day, not going to lie.
Yeah, water slides are pretty sick too. I've never had a water slide. And if you get a water slide, you assume they have to put a pool in too. So it's kind of a twofer.
Ball's in your court, Klobuchar.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from $119.99 during the week and $149 a night on the weekends, November through March. It's a really beautiful place to stay. Jared stayed there last year. He absolutely loved it. You stayed there off season too.
Yeah, I did in December, right when they were putting the Christmas trees up. So it gets a little festive. Plus,
cozy.
It's very cozy. The fire pits are great. Doesn't matter how cold it is. You can be outside looking at the stars at night, the moonrise. Out in the morning, drinking your coffee, watching the sunrise. You're still warm. It's perfect.
It's perfect. It is. There's nothing like off-season Cape Cod. Book online at NausetBeachInn.com and book soon because these things do fill up. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe Gavin Newsom when he says he isn't running for president?
Did you read his quote, Jared?
I did not.
He says, not happening. No, not at all. I've said it in French, Italian. Of course you have. Oh, of course you have.
I said it at the Italian laundry.
Yeah, I said it. I said it at the French laundry. I said, no, monsieur. Absolutely not.
Have you really said it in Mandarin?
God, he is really like California Trudeau. I've said it in French and in Italian. Oh, good for you, Gavin. He says, I cannot say it enough, but thank you. It's humbling. It is sweet. It is nice to be asked. I mean it. And I never trust politicians, so I get why you keep asking. Do I believe him? How do you say in French, no?
No, at 98%. 2% say they believe him.
And now he's running. Are you kidding me? I've never been so sure of anything in my life. We'll be right back. We're going to talk Chris Wallace on CNN and how pickleball is becoming a big issue in New York City. Don't go anywhere.